Understanding the machlokas Rav and Rav Nachman. Today we're going to try to apply that to the definition of Shechina Gavai. We'll sharpen, of course. Whenever we apply, we sharpen. And then we'll try to start to visit how the Ramban understands Shechina Gavai. All this before 10 o'clock. Then you've got an early day, so 10 o'clock's our hard deadline. Okay, when 10 o'clock comes, Shmuel, I know you like giving me the choke sign. Okay, Shmuel likes, gets a little aggression out, a little, you give me the choke sign. Maybe I should teach you a little Brooklynese, right, Yaakov? How do we show our disapproval of people in Brooklyn? Maybe I have to teach you guys. You're too delicate. You grew up in Teaneck, and you grew up in Fairlawn, you grew up in Riverdale with the delicate people. In Brooklyn, someone makes a face at you, you go like this. Look, what you do, right? You put your hand underneath your chin, you go, make a little face like that, okay? So, Shmuley, 10 o'clock, put your hand on the chin, and like this. Hey, Gumba, what you doing, okay? Yeah, hardest Italian accent, okay? An Italian accent comes through with your hand, okay? Okay, so make a face and put the hand out, okay? So I'm waiting for the Italian job. Okay, getting back to our Gemara. We have two ways of understanding Machlokas Rava and Rav Nachman. Let's draw that on the board, okay? I'm a Brooklyn guy, okay? Dirty hands, dirty hands. I told you guys already. I accept boys to the Shiva based on their hands. If their hands are too creamy and pampered, then I'm too sweet. I got these brown, sweaty, oily hands that I know the guys are working. So I tell the guys who want to get accepted to grocery store, go out the night before and start, get putting their hands on the ground. Okay. So I'm greasing the board with their hands, start fucking their hands. Okay. So we have two ways of doing the machlokas Rava. Rava. Let's build the two ways. Rava has two assumptions. One, cheskas gimel shanim is machzakas. Two, Shchuna Gavai, which according to the Rashbam is Cheder, Pnimi, Behayisi, Over, Alecha, that is a type of Macha, and therefore, according to Rava, Al Hamarakama, Al Chiach, Midin, Amotzi, Mechaber, Alevarai. This is Rava. We built a good svar for Rava, according to the Rashba. Now, Rav Nachman can say one of two things. Rav Nachman can either say, let me do this differently. Rav Nachman can either say, Cheskas Gimel Shanim is a Raya, and therefore, until you prove all the points, the Machzik has to prove everything. There's no, you're not shifting the Machzik into a Machzik. So you can argue with number one. Or if not, we can argue with number two. Cheskas Gimel Shanim is a Mochzakos. But Cheder Pnimi isn't a Macha, it's an Akiras HaChazaka. When the Marakam is saying it was in the Cheder Pnimi, I'm not saying, oh, you had a Chazaka, but I was there. I'm saying you never had a Chazaka, hence you never the Mochzak. So these are the two ways to understand Rav Nachman's Shita. Namely, there are two ways, and I'm switching colors, there are two ways to understand the Machlokas. One is, the Machlokas is how to understand Cheskas Gimel Shanim. This we'll call Model A. One is, Model B, is Cheder Pnimi considered an Akira, or is Cheder Pnimi considered a Macha? That's the Machlokas. This is Model B. So there are two ways to understand, according to the Rashbam, Machlokas Rava and Rav Nachman. So if we build a separate table, Machlokas Rava and Rav Nachman, what's the Machlokas according to the Rashbam? One way is Ofi Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Rava says it's Mochzakos. Rav Nachman says it's Raya. So they're arguing about the fundamental definition. Or they're arguing about what is Cheder Pnimi. Is it a, according to Rava, it's a Macha, and therefore the Marakam has to prove it. According to Rav Nachman, it's a Akiras Chazaka, and therefore the Machzik has to prove it wasn't there. Okay? So this is logical flow. 1 plus 2 leads to conclusion of Amar Kamalochiach. Whereas according to Rav Nachman, it's not 1 plus 2, but 1 or 2. If you say 1, or you say 2, if you reject number 1, or you reject number 2, then you say Zil Berar Achilascha, namely Al HaMachzik Lochiach. This is a summary of what we say yesterday. Is everything clear on the board? Okay. Rava says 1 plus 2. If it's wet, raining outside, you don't have an umbrella, you'll get wet. Menachem says there are two ways not to get wet. Either it's not raining and you don't have an umbrella, or it's raining and you have an umbrella. Reject one, but not necessarily both assumptions. I reach a conclusion that disagrees. Okay, so there are two ways to be the machlokes, Rav and Rav Nachman. Okay, take a second.
Okay.
Now we're going to start to see, okay, these are good logically. It makes sense. I'm almost convinced that they're true. But can we find Rishonim who say one or the other? How do we prove from Rishonim? So the way to prove Rishonim is, well, how are they defining Shchuna Gavai? Are they defining Shchuna Gavai in a way that can really be Akiras HaChazaka? Or are they defining Shchuna Gavai in a way that can only be a Macha, in which case no one is really talking about Akiras HaChazaka? Listen carefully to each statement, in which case really the Machlokas is about the nature of Chatzos Gimel Shana. What was in Rav Nachman's mouth? Was Rav Nachman saying, oh, Gimel Shanim is all a Raya, and I don't care what you have to prove, it's all in the Machzik, and to prove it until the Raya is complete? Or was Rav Nachman saying, this Shechina Gavai is really being Okri L'Chazaka, and therefore you never have a Chazak Gimel Shanim, and therefore you never a Machzik? What's Shechina Gavai? Is Shechina Gavai really, 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 really light presence of the Marakama? In which case, Shechina Gavai, answer my sentence, can only be at best a, if it's really, really light, can only be at best a macha. And if it can only be a macha, then what's Rav Nachman's objection based upon? Not that your presence is okay the chazaka, but no, until you prove everything, you have to prove even light machas, because cheskes gemul shanim is a raya. Right? Therefore, even if it's only, listen carefully, I'll say it again and again and again, it's really important logic. I'm switching the logic, or I'm massaging the logic. Shchuna Gavai is really, 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 really light footprints of the Marakama. It's really light. Finish my sentence. In which case, according to Rav Nachman, Shchuna Gavai can't really be Akiras Chazaka, because it's really light. You're external, you're on the side. At best, it can be a... And why does the Machzik have to prove Macha, according to Rav Nachman? Right, because right, it's a Raya, you got to prove everything. Or, Cheder Panimi in Shchuna Gavai is really, 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 really intense presence of the Marakama, in which case it's not just a Macha, but it's also a Kiras Chazaka. And why does the Machzik have to prove, isn't he the Machzik? The answer is, he's not, as you're open to the Chazaka. So I'm gauging, I'm looking how Rishonim define Shchuna Gavai to see what Rav Nachman is saying. And for them, Shchuna Gavai is, oh, you sneezed. Well, then that could be a best of macha. Why does Rav Nachman say that the machzik has to prove a macha? It could be because he has some theory, model A, that the machzik has to prove everything. Because I'll never become a machzik, because it's not in my wheelhouse, because Gimel Shanim is just the right. But if I see a scenario where the Marakama is there, breathing on you, you know, and we get too physical here, I'll go easy on Ariel, I'll pick up. Now, let's say this is Shchuna Gavai, you know, basically. I was like this for 3 years. I was sitting there like this. So basically, you couldn't breathe. And I'm not going to say, in theory, yeah, you could be a Gimel Shanim Yud Mukhsa. The guy was breathing on you. I was creeping you out. I was there the whole year. Breathing down your neck. That's why you're not a Mukhsak. In theory, yeah, you're a Mukhsak. But you see how I'm transitioning the fundamental question into a technical question that we can now gauge. I've translated our alumnus into Rishon language. Rishonim don't speak in Lamdishal language because they just knew it. They spoke in technical language. We have to decode technical language to Lamdishal language. That's the challenge of Lamdas. So now let's look, and I'll answer your question in 10 seconds before I get to the next part. Now let's look at the Rishonim and see how they define Shchuna Gavai, according to the Rashbam. They define Shchuna Gavai, sneezed. They define Shchuna Gavai, piggybacked on Rafi for 3 years. Yes, Jacob. Right, exactly. Okay, so the Ritva, and not just the Ritva, Jacob, who, I'm exaggerating, who views Shechina Gavai as, I sneezed. I made something that looks like a macha. Not that I was climbing on Rafi's back, but I did something like a macha. And still Rav Nachman believes that the machzik has to prove it, because the machzik has to prove everything. Who says this? You just said it, Jacob? The Ritva and the Ramban. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Okay, we're still all operating under the Rashbam. Shchuna Gavai means you're in the back room, not you weren't in Yemen, you weren't far off in the middle of nowhere. You're in the back room. You weren't in Syria, you're in the back room. You got to take it all today because Joe isn't here, so you're going to bear the brunt. Okay, Rafi is going to bear the brunt of the Macha, and Grinsel is going to bear the brunt of my racism today. So it's all good. Okay. What's a shear without bigotry? Okay. Don't smash it. Okay. So here we go. So let it all out. It's called Let It All Out Friday. All right. No inhibitions Friday. Okay. Throwback Thursday and Let It All Out Friday. Okay. So let's open the Rashbam. See what the Rashbam says. Okay. The Rashbam. Shwini Gavoy. Okay. B'chedrim ha'pnimim ha'isa. Right. It was in the inner chambers. Rav Nachman Mibrez. Inner chambers. Ha'isi over derech alecha. Not just that I was in the back room, but I also would pass by every single day. And Mishamish Nechabez Chitza. Okay, let's open up the Ramban. And let's find the four kashas of the Ramban. Arba kashas, okay? Ari Braun, budding Lamdan, come home. If you have to say, they'll say, Ari, you're the youngest guy at the Seder. Say the Manishtana, four questions. They say, you mean the four questions of the Ramban or the four questions of the Ramban? I don't know. Get these crazy Lamdan and they're rooting the Seder. Everything is lumdus. Okay? Everything is lumdus. Okay, so we got the Ramban. Mashapirish bar Rabbeinu Shmuel Zal. Shebechadar ma'pnimi ha'isidar va'over derech aleh lo nirali. Okay? Here are the four kashas of the Ramban. Number one, Mesha didn't know saying shelo yafsid chaskasa b'shvil kach. What? Just because the guy walks by you through your house every day or by your house, v'chi'ein adam asar limkor by his chitzon u'mishai las ma'pnimi v'derech? So the first kasha is actually a very strong logical question. If every time the previous owner passes by me, I don't have a chazaka because we're passing like a Nachman, then you can never buy a land. And let's say I want to buy your land, but you say, Rabbi Targan, buy my land, but I still want to walk by my land to get to my other lands. So every time you're walking by, that's a macha. So I can never prove that I bought the land. I always have to hold on to the shtar, because every time you walk by, it'll be a macha, and 3 years won't work. The Ramban doesn't allow that scenario. I'm not so sure why. Maybe that scenario you have to hold on to your shtar, because you've got a constant macha. The Ramban says, according to the Rashbam, that walking by is a form of, the Ramban is going to trash the Rashbam. The Ramban is going to throw out the Rashbam's shop. These are the four questions to prove that the Rashbam's mitzias, the Shechina Gavai, can't possibly be the mitzias. Every time you walk by, you're a mocha, and we're passing like Rav Nachman, that it works, and the machzik has to prove everything, then I can never buy a field from you, Benji, and say, oh, we can still walk by and prove it, because every time you walk by, it's a built-in macha, and I have to prove that you didn't walk by. So I never have a macha. Okay, there are ways to answer this question, but it's an interesting question. What are the ramifications of this sugya for general sales? Every time you walk by, you're ruining my chazaka. Okay. Second question. The ode. Okay, here's the key question of the Ramban, which is, everyone look at the second question, because this is really, really compelling. The ode, according to the logic of the Rashbam that it's talking about Cheder Panimi, look inside if you have the Ramban. Im kein mai taima derava. According to this scenario, what's the reasoning of Rava? V'halo kol zman shelo hevi raya shadar levado. Until the machzik brings all the proof that he was alone, lo hevi edi chazaka. She'ein chazaka lemi shadar embailim. Right, the Ramban can't wrap his, listen to what I'm saying, can't wrap his head around Rava. Look at the blue Rava. We have a nice way to build Rava. Rava holds the Gimel Shanim is Mechzakos, and you're definitely a Mechzak regardless of where the guy was, the Marakama. Ramban just can't accept it. Perhaps because Ramban didn't buy into Mechzakos. So in the Rashbam's world, how do you make sense of Rava? Or, another way the Ramban is rejecting the Rashbam here is, I believe in Muchzakos, I at least believe that Rava believed in Muchzakos as Gimel Shanim, but by being in that house, you're being Okir the Chazaka, even according to Rava. So Rava would never have said assumption number two. I can buy into assumption number one in our Rava model, that Gimel Shanim in theory is a Muchzak, but such presence and the claim of the Marakama that I was there is essentially Akiras Chazaka, not only according to Rav Nachman, but even according to Rava. And therefore, how do you make sense of Rava? So basically, this is the most compelling logical question of the Ramban. How to make sense of Rava. And because he has to make sense of Rava, his Shchuna Gavai isn't going to be so intimate. It's not going to be that I'm hanging over Rafi. It's not even going to be that I'm sneezing. It's going to be that I'm far away and I couldn't really respond. This is the real core why the Ramban moved away from the Rashbam. The Ramban could not say part two in Rava. Even if I believe, because I'll probably say part one in Rava in his form of Shchuna Gavai, even if I believe that somehow the Machzik could be a Muchzik, there's no question, Yehuda, that if you were their marakama, you are undermining everything I did. And that's not just true in Rav Nachman's counterclaim, that's also true, Rava would buy into that, and therefore I have no way to make sense of Rava. This is the real sensitive point. Let's read it again. The ode, Im Kain, if you read the Rashbam, my time of the Rava. What do you mean, my time of the Rava? We've got a great Rava on the board. We built it. The Ramban doesn't like it. In the Ramban's world, presence of the Marakama, we'll talk about what that presence is in a moment, Jacob, but presence of the Marakama is so debilitating that it eliminates any chazaka. The Marakama has to be far, far away from the land. If you're anywhere near the land, the Ramban says, then the machzik's doing nothing. And therefore, I can't turn him into a machzak, and I can't make sense of Rava. If you want to take a one snapshot from this sugya, this is the snapshot. And therefore, the Ramban had to reinterpret Shchina Gavai, not that the machzik says I was there, because in that scenario, Benji, everyone would say the Marakama says the machzik has to prove it. It must be a different excuse. Marakama is not saying I was there. Marakama says I was there. My time in the Rava. My time in the Rava. Same question we began with yesterday. My time in the Rava. My time in the Rava. My time in the Rava. The whole sugya revolves around trying to create logic for Rava. The Yesh Mefarshim and the Rif had to make Inukimta. He's not a Marakama. That's why he wins according to Rava. Problem was, can't beat Godzilla in a sugya. You can't beat Godzilla in a sugya. You're going to cremate the entire Japanese town. And he gave this Ukimta to make sense of Rava, and now you cream Rav Nachman, according to this Yesh Mefarshim and the Rif. The Rashbam, I like the Rashbam. We can build a plausible Rava. You have 3 years, the guy saying he was there, he was sneezing, he was being mocha. Ramban doesn't like this. Any sneeze, you can hang on Rafi's bag, you can sneeze at Rafi, you're undermining Chazaka, and what sense does Rava make? The only way, which we'll see later, is, well, you were there alone, but I was handicapped because I couldn't say anything, so I was, and we'll see what that means according to the Ramban. Ramban can't make sense of that. Next part. Second question. The Lashon HaGemara, Atzmo, Eino Noach Lisparish Kain. She'ein B'Lashon Shchuna Gavai. This is what makes the Ramban so comprehensive. He's always asking two different types of questions. Logic and text. And text is always divided in two. The internal text and parallel text. But the Ramban sensitivity, which is very consistent. Some of you have read the Ramban al Torah. If you're looking to add a chavrusa in Machshava, seriously, if you're looking to add a chavrusa in Machshava, I really strongly recommend Ramban al Torah going through 2-3 sections. It's really the foundations of our Masara, the Derech HaMelech. Rav Aaron once was asked if he could take one sefer to a desert island, then Ramban. If you want to do a little more research, there's a riveting conversation between Rav Lichtenstein and a very, very great man. One of the greatest Rosh Hashiva, I think, in today's world is Chaim Sabata, Rosh Hashiva Male Adumim. A lot of Americans don't really know. You probably have heard of him more than Ashkenazim. He's really like, he's on a short list of people I would pay money to be in a room with for an hour. He's just an incredible person. You look at him, he looks like a taxi cab driver. He holds himself low, normal. See, now he has a beard, so he looks like a taxi cab driver with a beard. Like, just keep buzz crumpled, and just there's no airs about him. You pass him on the street, you think he's selling falafel or curry. And the man is just beyond. Like, you're in a room, you feel like, okay, there's everyone else, and then there's him. Like I felt with the Romulus. There's everyone else, and then there's someone who's just towering above. So he had a sefer, in which was published by Ideal, called Seeking His Presence, which I'm sorry you've seen the visa. He interviewed Rav Lichtenstein. And it's probably the easiest, when people ask me, how can I understand Rav Lichtenstein? I say, read this book. Because most of Rav Lichtenstein's writings are very labyrinthine, very difficult and complex. But this is a book that really works. Because he asked Rav Lichtenstein, give me your answer. It's an interview style. It's called Seeking His Presence, I'm sure you've seen the book. There's a riveting interaction between him and Rav Lichtenstein, in which Chaim Sabata remembers being at his Zaidi's house in Egypt. I think it was in Egypt. And basically, they talked about the Rambam all day on Shabbos. Rambam, 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 Rambam for Sephardim, and at least for his family, like the Rambam ruled. And the Rambam was the core. Rav Aaron countered that essentially the Ramban, he feels, is the baseline and for Jewish thought. And it's just like a nice interaction difference. And one of the interesting parts of the Ramban al Torah, which makes it so unique, is he bridges between literalists and Parshanim. So as much as Rashi views himself as a literalist, 50% of Rashi is drashas, midrashim, and stories. And Eben Ezra is a grammarian. He's grammar, what do the words mean, etymology. It's why in today's world, unfortunately, people aren't into grammar, so we don't read the Eben Ezra as much as possibly we should. But just as much as you can close your eyes and go back 500 years, if you go back 500 years, you would not be taken seriously unless you knew grammar really, really well. And some of the great debates in the medieval periods were about grammar. Not about where to put a comma, but about what words mean. Probably one of the oldest form we use is the Aruch. The Aruch wrote a dictionary, which he tried to, who is an Italian, who wrote a dictionary, trying to grammar. One of the biggest debates in the medieval period was between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ibn Ezra about grammatical issues. And we read them, and it doesn't really resonate with us because grammar has fallen off the map. But this would, you would sit for hours and hours in the biggest Batei Medrash describing our Hebrew words based on three letters, two letters, and that would lead you to theological issues. And what do the letters mean? What do the words mean? So the Ramban is a bridge. And the Ramban al-Ashas is a similar bridge. He's always attentive, and that's really a gateway to understanding lambdas. You hear certain people, they're just off into the races with their lambdas, with their ideas. And what this Rabbi Chanan and this Birch HaShmuel, it's not grounded in the text. On the other hand, you hear people that spend so much time thrashing through the text and reading every marsha and finding every twist and turn, they're never able to leap up to the logic of the text. And what I'm trying to give you and share is we're always trying as best as we can. What are the words saying? What's the logic saying? What price does Tosfos pay? What price does Rambam pay? To create that balance between as much as we can. We're not here learning full time, but over the years, it's a balance you have to always adjust. Are you reading? That's why I say reading Tosfos in is so important, learning how to read Tosfos in and grounding yourself. And where does it come up? And we do Chazar, which is reading Maharashi Tosfos and whatever logic you got, you got. So this is Ramban's third kasha. V'loshen ha-gemara atzmo eina noach lisparish kein, she'ein b'loshen shchuna gavoy, she'yavor v'yetzei derech halachitzo. It doesn't sound like you were passing by. Tomorrow Kama talking about his daily route, his daily fitness. I turn on my Fitbit and I pass by your house. He's not telling us his daily route. What do you call that app where it tells you like when you're circling an area, like it maps you, it's like a security issue, Strava, right? We're turning on my Strava, and I can prove from my Strava that I pass by your house every day. And it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like I was in the house. It doesn't sound like I was walking anywhere, the Ramban says. Okay, and his final kasha is V'od. Here's his fourth kasha, also textual. D'b'chulu nuschi b'hai'ara. In my Gemara, the Ramban says, and by the way, in my Gemara also, doesn't say my bias b'hai. According to the Rashbam, what should it say? My bias b'hai? He said it yesterday. What are you doing in this house? The two houses, inner house, outer house. But in our Gemara, it doesn't talk about houses, it talks about land. And there's no houses on land. It's a big, big field, a big, big meadow. We're talking about inner houses and outer houses. We're talking about land. So the last two kashas are the Ramban textual. The first two kashas are logical. One is a general kasha. What are the connotations of your view of the sugya, Rashbam, for general chazak? I can never prove that I own a land that I bought from you if you're walking by. Maybe you can. Maybe if you're walking by, you have to be more sensitive. Maybe that's the answer to the Ramban. So really, it's the second kasha that's the core of the Ramban. If you really want to strip away the technical, textual question, the core question is Ramban couldn't buy into what I have on the board. Even in Rava, even though we don't pass like Rava. Remember, the Ramban has the liberty to say whatever he wants in Rava. In theory, you can say whatever you want in Rava because we don't pass like Rava and make that the machlokas. The Ramban was so opposed to presence of the Marakama at any proximity to the land that he couldn't even put into Rava's mouth. So Rava can't be awarding the machzik with muchzakos because I was there for three and you just sneezed at me by walking by. According to Ramban, even just walking by is enough to scuttle the chazaka, enough to ruin the position of the machzik and to throw into question what Rava was possibly saying. But it sounds like from the Ramban that the way he read the Rashbam, Jacob, now tell me again, we're reading the Ramban, was that you... What did Marakama do? Rambam would walk by all the time. What's happening in the Rashbam? Is he walking by? What else is he doing? He's not just walking by, but he's being mishtamish. So there are two ways to read the Rashbam. There's the Ramban's way to read the Rashbam, that you were just walking by. And then there is that you are mishtamish. Which is more encroaching? Which is more creepy? Which is more suffocating? Which is just maybe a macha? Former. The former, just walking by. Not according to the Ramban. The Ramban feels that walking by, at least the way we explain the Ramban's logic, is so creepy that you're undermining the chazaka and therefore rejects the whole idea. That's no way to make sense of Rava. But if I'm reading the way that we've shown him, the Ramban and the Ritva read the Rashbam, as opposed to the way I'm reading the Rashbam, who else read the Rashbam that way? Okay, let's take a look at Rabbeinu Gershom. I didn't give it to you in the Makaros, but I want you to get accustomed to seeing Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, Meir Hagola. Okay, what were some of his takanos?
Two famous takanos? Three famous. No, I told you the letter story, so you know the letter story. Right? It tells letter story what? Multiple wives and also. What?
Margins of
Svarim. What else?
Male.
Wives. Fourth one. Major fourth one. Can't divorce your wife against her will. Okay? And that's why, again, just because people don't know, when a woman is caught with a recalcitrant husband, we have no recourse. I mean, we do have recourse, but we don't have a beis din to apply those recourse. The recourse is to invite him to beis din and beat his brains out until he dies. I told you before, in the days of Chazal, when we had a Sanhedrin, you'd invite the woman, say, please wait in the waiting room, okay? 5 minutes, please, you know, go on Tinder or go on whatever you call it, the J-date, and marry anyone you want, because you'll either be a grusha, in which case you have to be careful about calling him, or you'll be an almana and just sort out the coin guddles, you know, from your Tinder application. You know, just make sure there's got to be some setting on J-date, you know, no coin guddles, no coin. So just sort out the konim and you'll be fine. You know, if you want, you can already sort out the konim gadolim, but you'll be fine either way. You'll be an almana or a grusha. Or you take the guy back in the back, and I'd be happy to use my Brooklyn skills on that going. Tune him on that, the recalcitrant husband, and tune him up a little bit. Because there's nothing more immoral and more pugnacious than a man who doesn't just abuse his wife by withholding a get and the family and the children, but feels that it's his God-given right, because Hashem made it. It's an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gave you the right to marry your wife. You're turning that right and duty into empowerment. That's just so ugly, because it's been Adam HaChaber, it's been Adam HaMakom. So I'd be happy to show this guy some of my oratory skills, let's just put it that way. some of the way we get people to listen to our opinions in Brooklyn. So I'd be happy to be on that team. But we don't have that today. Unfortunately, rabbis sometimes still feel like we are living under Beis Din, and some of them are sitting in jail right now because there are stories of rabbis kidnapping people and beating them up in the backs of trunks. And, you know, you can't do that. We live in Dimmick. What?
It happened in Chicago, I think.
In Chicago, it happened in New Jersey, it happens all over. And we're living in a democratic society, so we pressure. And I'm very, very proud that the former director of ORA is a Gush guy. He lives in Afraud. He came to speak to you, right? Didn't he come already? Or will come? He comes to speak every year, Jeremy Stern. And his successor, the one that took over, is also a Gush guy. And it's a beautiful organization to try to mount pressure and create pressure and whatever you can do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But anyway, what were we talking about? How did we get to this? Anyone? What? Ben Gershon. But when a man wants to divorce his wife and she won't accept, then there's nothing wrong in the Torah. It's just you're violating the Chayim of Ben Gershon. Anyone know what we do to let him do it anyway? Called a Heter Meir Rabbanim. If 100 rabbis sign, then you can violate Ben Gershon's Takana. So I've signed on the Heter Meir Rabbanim, where a good friend of mine, the marriage went south. Again, I heard it from his side, but the woman went a little crazy. Again, I don't know what their side felt, but she was refusing to give a get. And, brought it, they signed it. I'm sure but Jack has probably been involved in multiple. You probably have signed?
Well,
for a get.
Yeah.
Rabbi Jack, you never brought in Heter Meir Rabbanim and asked the TVC guys just put your name?
No.
Anyone's Rabbanim, I guess. Okay. So anyway, so it's not that hard. You walk into Y, you're a Lakewood, you have Meir Rabbanim, you know.
What's considered a rabbi?
Smicha, basically smicha. I think maybe I was in smicha then. It doesn't have to be, again, our smicha today, which is in itself is really titular. We don't really have smicha. It's titular. I call it. Smicha today is not smicha Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua. It's only halachic impact is that if I'm, let's say, a Talmud of Rav Lichtenstein or a Talmud of Rav Shechter, then I have an Isser to give up sock in his vicinity. This is Gemara in Sanhedrin, Talmud al Yara b'fnei Rabba. So smicha releases that heter. It's my Rebbe telling me you can now paskin in this area because I now recognize and therefore you're not violating the issue of Talmud al Yara. But in terms of smicha, that's what makes the whole women's smicha issue, which is, of course, we're opposed to it, the whole kochenu, but it makes it so elusive. You can't come and say, oh, you know, if in contrast to what I said before, when it comes to homosexuality, it's clear, it's black and white, it's concretely, it's us, there's no wiggle room. With smicha, we're dealing with masora, we're dealing with how it will impact, we're dealing with a very, very slippery pit, I don't know, in a desultory fashion. It's very slippery, it's hard to, it's for people that are internal to the base medrash world, it makes sense, you understand it. But when we're trying to present to the people outside the base medrash world, It sounds apologetic. It sounds like you're scratching for answers. It sounds, we understand what Masar is. We understand those things sometimes are more important than halacha. But for people that don't have that sensitivity, so much of the miscommunication is that people in the Beis Medrash world have their own language. I'll never forget, like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, they asked Rav Schechter, again, just, he's the sweetest person. I can't imagine a bigger Bel Chesed than Rav Schechter, you can't imagine how kind and compassionate and sweet. But if you don't understand, you have to translate. So they ask, can a woman read a ksuva under the chuppah? Okay? So, I will tell you, I will not officiate at weddings with women reading the ksuva, and far less for all sorts of reasons. But if you corner me and say, Rabbi, what's the halachic issue about reading a ksuva? I'll say, it's a joke. Reading the ksuva is a big, always laugh. Oh, Rabbi, what have you to read the ksuva? Oh, can I get a bracha? We don't want that ksuva to ever be read. It doesn't have to be read. It's all just a ceremony. Not part of the kiddushin. It's just a way to stall for time and just create a separation between the kiddushin and the nisuin. We hope to God that they'll never have to use the ksuva until the woman's 119 and her husband's 120 and he dies. Oh, by the way, here's the ksuva. That's our hope. But I won't do it because of all sorts of other secondary but equally important reasons. So they asked for Shachter, can a woman read a ksuva? And he was equally halachically honest. He says, well, in terms of the halacha, of course a woman can read a ksuva because it has no halachic meaning. But then he went on to say why he shouldn't. In halacha, you know how we call an action that has no halachic meaning? Anyone know? Okay. There's a term for that. It's based on the Gemara and Chulin. Gemara and Chulin contrast in Tilos Adayim with Shchita. If the wind blows over a cup of water on my hands, I'm Yotze. Because that's not a halachic act of pouring the water. It just has to be poured with some force. But if a wind blows over a knife and it does Shchita, that's not a good Shchita. What language does the Gemara use? Because it's not, the Chazal weren't physicians. Chazal just lived in a world. They weren't physics majors. So they didn't talk about vectors and masses and velocity. They just used association and say, oh, the water falling from the Tilos Adayim is not halachic. That's Maisa Kof Bialma. That's just a monkey can do it. But the knife of Shchita, that has to be significant. Shechter said, oh, women can read the ksuva. Even monkeys can read. He didn't say that. He said it's a Maisa Kof Bialma. But they interpreted it literally. So you have to know. I'm not... Of course, I'm defending Rav Schechter, but ideally, you have to have both. You have to have a sense about you. So when I'm talking to you, I can talk in one way. When I'm talking to people on the base manager, you have to give them context and framework, and this is what it means. And I'll admit to you that there aren't real halachic issues, but you can't just gauge decisions based on, only whether it's us or mutter or in the Aseret HaDibros or many, many other issues that are very, very important. So you have to be honest, because they'll see through your dishonesty very quickly. Oh, it's us. Yehari v'el yavar, for women to have smicha. Guy puts them... No, there's some really, really important issues, and we should be very, very careful about it, but you also have to be honest with, it's a bit of a slippery. So, getting back to your question, Ari, people are rabbis. If I took a list out right now and gave you a long list of people who you call rabbi who don't have smicha, I'd be very interested to read that list. I'm not gonna scroll it down, but I got some good blackmail on a lot of really big rabbis out there. Don't worry, I have smicha, but a lot of rabbis out there who don't. Like certain people we all know, like Eli doesn't have smicha, but he's not really a rabbi. We don't call him a rabbi or anywhere, just for outside of the yeshiva, just that's what we do. But there are people who are going around, rabbi this, rabbi that, and we all know they never took a test in the chayim, which is fine. So that rabbi business is again, so why can't you have a word rabbis? It's all just you're a rabbi, I'm a rabbi, he's a rabbi. It's just because the resonance of that issue is a lot different than just calling a smicha student a rabbi or calling a rebbe in yeshiva down the block a rabbi. It's a whole different thing, and therefore, you have to be really, really careful about it. So I want you to be honest and not get involved in conversations that you look like an idiot, but still know that the conversation doesn't start and end with whether it's a first, yes, or a dibros. There are many, many, many important layers that you have to be careful. Yes, yes, yes.
One would only be able to pass malacha in presence of the rebbe if they got... smicha from the rebbe.
No,
if they have smicha.
Good question.
I know that Ram wouldn't be holy kind of Aaron until after Aaron passed away.
Right, that could be. I don't know if it's halachic. It could be sensitive. Right, if you come and ask me what the psak is, then they go to Rabbi Friedman, because our psak in yeshiva, you say, look, he's not around. He's not going to give you a psak. So it's more collegiality. You're collegiate to people. Okay. Getting back to Ben Gershon. Right? Back to female rabbis to Ben Gershon. Okay. So Ben Gershon, Dibra maschil ana b'shchuna gavoy v'chzak diba. This is the claim of the Markama. I was in the shchuna gavoy. V'lo shamshisa ba yoser mimeni. I also used it along with the machzik. So to repeat, we have two different versions of shchuna gavoy. We have one shchuna gavoy, which we'll call the pass by shchuna gavoy. I was in the back room and I passed you by every day. We have one form of shchuna gavoy where I used it with you. Rabbeinu Gershom, seemingly the Rashbam. The first approach is how people interpreted the Rashbam. Clearly, this machlokas could be how you're analyzing the machlokas Rav and Rav Nachman. If Rav Nachman is saying, oh, I was using it with you side by side, I was using it with you, then Rav Nachman is basically arguing model B. I can agree in theory that Cheskes Gimel Shanim is machzakas, but here you never become a machzak because the Marakama was using it side by side, and his usage undermined your chazaka, was akiras chazaka. So if you hold like the Rabbeinu Gershom, and you hold like the Rashbam seemingly says, model B is very compelling. That in theory, Rav Nachman Eli could agree that there's something called machzakas. But his problem here was that the Marakam was claiming he never had the machzakas because I was using it with you and it was undermining side-by-side usage. Whereas in theory, if you hold like the Ramban and the Ritva, it's not true in the Ramban, but in theory, if you interpret the Rashbam, that it's not really the way the Rush reads, that really usage is just pass-by. Well, pass-by is not usage, pass-by is just a macha. I'm registering that I don't agree. So if all the Marakam is doing is a macha, then Rav Nachman's counterclaim can't be, oh, the Marakam is saying I was Oker the Chazaka. At most, the Marakam is saying I was Mocha. And still, the Machzik has to prove that the Marakam wasn't Mocha. That would imply Model A. That Rav Nachman is not basing his counter-argument to Rav on the fact that the Marakam was Oker the Chazaka, because it wasn't Oker the Chazaka, it just passed by. The Marakam is basing his counter to Rav, Rav Nachman is basing his counter to Rav, because even though I'm only claiming I was making a Macha, Gimel Shanim never establishes machzakas for the machzak. You never a machzak, you never become in the driver's seat, most it's a raya, and until the machzak proves all the details of the raya, there's no Gimel Shanim. So what's happening in Shchuna Gavai, whether Shchuna Gavai is just passed by, or Shchuna Gavai is actually usage, and not just usage, who takes usage to the max? Who says that we're dealing with not just usage, but dominant usage? No? By the Mordechai quotes the Maram Rottenberg. And I don't have time today because I know we have to make sure we finish here when we get to the Ramban. We have 10 minutes, but in theory, we'd want to ask, right? I'll just say a line. In the Maharam's world, what undermines utility of the machzik? Not just usage, but what's the Marakam saying? Not just usage, but. Can you give me a phrase? Who read the Maram Rottenberg? What's Shchuna Gavai? Did I use it? Right. So what type of usage? Right. What type of usage? Right. The only time you can have Gimel Shanim is if you're the dominant user. If you're not the dominant user. But if you're the dominant user, then you can have Gimel Shanim even if someone's using it along with you. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Gershom, what do you need? Not just dominant use, but explicit use. And any type of use of the Marakama will ruin you. Marakama is scuttling the Chazaka, not by saying I was the dominant user. He's saying I was a user. I was a peripheral user, and that's enough to scuttle the Chazaka. Which means that at least in Rav Nachman's mind, follow my logic, in Rav Nachman's mind, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, the guy's saying, I was there using it, and that ruins your chazaka, even though I wasn't the dominant user. It takes less to break Cheskes Gimel Shanim, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, than it takes to break Cheskes Gimel Shanim, according to the Maram Rottenberg. According to Maram Rottenberg, the way I break your Gimel Shanim is saying, I was the dominant user. In theory, if I'm not saying that, your Cheskes Gimel Shanim would still fly. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Gershom, I'm saying, I was a user. Which means that at least in Rav Nachman's world, to have Gimel Shanim, you need to be the only user, the only person there. And in theory, and I'll just say one more sentence, this could be the machlokas Rav Nachman and Rava. Maybe Rava disagrees. Says, look, for me, you don't need dominant use, you just need any use. And once you have any use, you have Gimel Shanim. Once you have Gimel Shanim, you have the machzok. So, in a general picture, We're trying to use what Rishonim are saying about Shwina Gavai to help decode how they viewed Rav Nachman's counterclaim to Rava. Lock that sentence in. We have a plausible working definition of Rava. Ramban didn't accept it. We've talked about that before. Rava says, A, Gimel Shanim is Mukhzakos. B, by being there 3 years, we don't care about the Shwina Gavai's presence. You're a Mukhzak. Now we're arguing about the Macha, and that's something that the Marakam has to prove because you're already the Mukhzak. How did Rav Nachman counterclaim? Oh, this whole business, it's monkey business. It's all just wrong. Gimel Shanim is not establishing the machzik as the machzik. It's all trying to prove whether there's a raya. And the machzik, Yehud has to prove every single little detail. Or Rav Nachman admits, he says, look, I agree in theory that Gimel Shanim can establish you as a machzik. But by claiming presence and utility, the Marakam is undermining the machzik. He's not saying you're a machzik, but I was machzik. He's saying you're not a machzik because I was there. Shwini Gavai is not a macha. Shwini Gavai is undermining. Well, let's see what Shwini Gavai is. According to some Rishonim, it sounds like you're undermining the Rashbam, the Maran Nuremberg. You're undermining by saying I used it. According to at least the way Rishonim read the Rashbam, the Ramban, the Riffin read the Rashbam, the Marakam is not claiming that I undermine you. The Marakam is just saying I walked by, which sounds to us a lot like a macha. In which case, why would Rav Nachman say that the machzik has to prove a macha? Evidently because he takes ma'alei, and for him there's no machzakos. And even if the debate is about a macha, the machzik has to prove every little single detail until the final end, to the final God. Yes?
How do they ignore the word mishtamish?
What?
How do they ignore the word mishtamish?
I don't know. Maybe they had a different gears in the Rashbam. I don't know. Good question. Remember, that there are a lot of words in this Rashbam. I give two or three more, because what else does he say? Yeah. Let's say you wanted to give 10 shiurim on the Rashbam. So far, we found two layers on the Rashbam. I was in the back room. Maybe the back room is enough. But I just was in the back room. I was also passing you by. Was also only passing you by, but I was also using it. And then what else does he say? Marakam, this is a very, very ambitious Marakam. I was in the back room. I walked by. I was using it. And you were using it, Bershusi. What does he mean by that? So Dr. Bo Bershusi, and you were only in the outer room with my permission. Why, what does that say all this? What is it, Mr. Bershusi? Just say, I was walking by. And then he goes further. Wait a second. We're interpreting according to the Rashbam that walking by is a form of macha. So why is it l'fichach l'machisi? Just say, I was mocha. So there's a lot in this Rashbam, and Rishonim read it, and they just hit them a certain way, and certain words were more meaningful than other words. Okay? In the 5 minutes that remain, again, we'll say what we'll probably do is we'll probably have an early shiur Sunday after Chazar Shiur. Maybe we'll stretch Chazar Shiur for like another half an hour, 40 minutes, and you know when, if you're tired after the Old City, because we're not really going to get to the Ramban today. Okay? They just introduce the Ramban. According to the Ramban, Shwina Gavai, follow the logic, is not you in the room, because even if you were in the back room, what's the Ramban's fundamental logical problem with the Rashbam? Even if you were in the back room, it undermines Chazaka, and there's no way to make sense of Rava. Again, it's Rava that puts pressure on the Ramban. How to make sense of Rava? What we have up on the board, Ramban didn't like. Because even if you have a scaled-down version of Shchina Gavai in the Rashbam's world, you weren't using it, you're just walking by, any presence, any sneeze undermines Chazaka. If you undermine the Chazaka, there's no plausible way to make sense of it. So according to Ramban, what's Shchina Gavai? It's not that you were in the back room. What's Shchina Gavai? You were in? Different country. Yemen. Why Yemen? Far away. Down south. Okay? Why Yemen? Because the Pasuk in Eov that calls Yemen a corridor, a room, Chadrei Teman. In the Ramban, that becomes a paradigm of being far away. You're in a different room. Because one of the foreign countries was called a Cheder, Chadrei Teman. Okay? Everyone knows, of course, when did the Yemenite community move to Yemen? Even before. In the first place. During Bayrisha. Okay? Common mistake. Yemenites are not Svardim. In modern-day Israel, their group was Sephardim for all sorts of cultural reasons, but Yemenites are totally... There are three types of traditional Jews. Sephardi, Ashkenazi, and Yemenite. Hopefully we'll get a chance to have someone come speak to you about it. Or Monday night, I would like to invite someone to tell you about the Yemenite community, what they were, what they weren't, but no Yemenites in Shana Aleph, right? No, or Shana Bet. We have one Uriah, what? Okay, okay. Very interesting story. Of course, anyone know when did they come to Israel? What was the apparition call? 1949. No, it was called Magic Carpet. Mervad Haksamim. Of course, the second one's called Mat Kanfei Nisharim. I think there are two projects. So just, you know, we're ready to learn today. Google Yemenite Jews and then move to Israel. Very fascinating story. Anyway, so you're in a far, far away place. And now the Ramban is willing to make sense of Rava. So let's read the Ramban and we'll stop here. Then we'll just pick up what Rav Nachman would say. Now the Ramban is willing to say what's on the board. That according to Rava, Gimel Shanim is Mukhzakos. And the Marakam is not trying to undermine the Mukhzakos. The Marakam is just saying that even though you're a Mukhzak, I have an excuse that your Chazakah shouldn't work. And that has to be proven by the Marakama, says Rava, because the Machzik has been established as the Mukhzak. So let's read the Ramban. Vani Shamati. No further down, he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel. We'll discuss Rabbeinu Hananel a little bit later. Vani shamati beferish hayuvda deshchuna gavoy shumakom rachok beruach daram, a faraway place down south. V'nikra gavoy v'vishu cheder k'dechsev min acheder tavo sufa v'chsev v'chadrei teman. A pasuk in Iov talks about shchuna baray v'katayin hay, and the Marakama claims. Shehaya b'makom shelo shama chazaka. I was in a faraway place. I couldn't possibly hear the chazaka. Oh, shelo haya yachol limchos. Or I could hear, but I couldn't be mocha. V'hemnei Rav Nachman. We'll get back to Rav Nachman. Right, Rav Nachman makes the most sense, because until we know otherwise, all the burden of proof is on the machzik, because the marakam is in the driver's seat. So we don't really have to get, remember, all of the pressure here starts with Rava. Articulate a statement for Rava, and then counter it with Rav Nachman. Start the ping-pong game by saying something in Rava, and then ping-pong it back to Rav Nachman. So we're not going to read Rav Nachman yet. We're really riveted in Rava, and once we read Rava, we'll get back to Rav Nachman. Okay? So he says whatever he says for Rav Nachman, which we'll see. The Rava Savar, I'm skipping a couple lines, Michivan Shehechzik, once the Machzik had his 3 years, and of course he had his 3 years without anyone climbing on his back or even sneezing at him. He wasn't in the shchuna, he wasn't in any back room passing by, using it along with him. There was no connection between the Marakama, Yehuda, and the Machzik. The Marakama was far, 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 far away. So the Machzik had his uninterrupted Gimel Shanim. Mikivan Shehichzik, three key lines in the Ramban, three key words, Hareu Bershusa. Now it's in the Rishus of the Machzik. He's the Machzik. And now it's on the Marakama to prove that he was really in Yemen. Just like the Marakama has to bring a raya that he was Mocha. Namely, according to Ramban, get this Marakama as far away as you can. If the debate still swirls around whether the Marakama was living alongside with, passing by the Machzik, any presence, usage, joint usage, dominant usage, pass by, it's not even conceivable. Remember, the Ramban isn't telling us what he feels. He's just trying to make sense of Rava. How do I make sense of Rava? I can't even say this in Rava. In the end, Ariel, we're not going to pass it like Rava, but I can't even say this in Rava. A scenario where the Machzik is using it, but the Marakama is there, sneezing, back room, passing by, using, smiling, doing his hair, that's not a Chazaka. And there's no way to convert the Machzik into a Machzik. The only way to begin the conversation, to begin with a plausible position in Rava, is to take the Marakama and send them off to Yemen. Ship them off to Yemen. Let the Masik have 3 years without Marakama sniffing him. And now there's just some second debate, which we're going to have to uncork on Sunday. Well, even though you had your 3 years, I couldn't possibly have responded to those 3 years, and therefore your Chazaka isn't complete. Oh, Marakama, you're making some secondary, tertiary, quadruplary, some secondary. The Machzik had full usage and full utility. You weren't there, but you're coming up with some excuse and some apologetics. The reason this Chazaka shouldn't work, you have to prove that. Because the Machzik has already established himself as a Machzik. We're going to start on Sunday with what would Rav Nachman say to this. But this is the switch in the Ramban. The world of the Rashbam didn't register for the Ramban, because it's not conceivable to talk about. The Ramban believes in Cheskes Gimel Shanim as a Mukhzak, and that's how he interprets Rava in his Pshat. But that scenario doesn't unfold in the Rashbam situation in Shchuna Gavoy. There's no possible way that the Machzik could become a Mukhzak if the Marakam is looking at him, breathing down his back, sneezing at him, walking by. Even in the Ramban's interpretation of the Rashbam, that it wasn't joint utility, I was just walking by. Even that walking by undermines the Chazakah, even according to Rava. And there's no way to make sense of Rava. To make sense of Rava, The only possibility is the Shechuna Gavai means you're far, far away. You're far, far away, you still have an excuse. We're still going to have to explore how that excuse ruins Chazakah, but it doesn't undermine Chazakah. Since it doesn't undermine, it's not Akira's Chazakah, you're still the Mochsak, and since you're now the Mochsak, the Marakam has the burden of proof, however that's going to work. So what we have to do on Sunday is we have to ask what Rav Nachman's going to say, and ultimately we have to dig down and say, what's this counterclaim of the Marakama? When the Marakama says, I was at a faraway place, why should that ruin the Chazakah? He's not saying I was Mocha. He's not saying I was Oki or Chazakah, I was in a faraway place.
The Mishnah says
it's a faraway place. Right, but what does that mean? I know we know that Allah is not wrong. What's the logic? What's the logic? Why if a Marakama says I was in a far, far, far away place? We'll have to ask that logic according to Rava and ask that logic according to Rav Nachman. But it's not macha, like passing by. It doesn't seem to be, look at me, doesn't seem to be akiras chazaka, because you're not saying I was using it with you, so I'm not being okir the chazaka. Right? The whole question, Rabbi Nachman, is who has to prove that he's in a faraway land? But let's ask a deeper question. Before we want to know who has to prove it, what is that claim? What is the potency of claiming I was in a faraway land? How does it work? How does it ruin the chazaka? I was a malcha. So we're going to have to study that and see if that's possibly a machlokas revenue or not. Okay? Alex.
Doesn't this seem extremely like Raya? Because since he was in a faraway land, he doesn't have the opportunity to be Mocha, and therefore
okay.
It doesn't do anything.
So your first answer is that according to Rav Nachman, Gimel Shanim is a Raya, doesn't prove anything, and therefore the Raya has to be totally proven by the Machzik, Zilbor, and Chilas. That's the easy way in Rav. Then once again, Rav and Rav Nachman have this debate about whether Gimel Shanim is Mochzakos. According to the Ramban, Rabbi says it's Mochzakos, and you were out of my grid, you were out of my grill, and it's a Mochzak. And Rabbi says it's a Raya, you need to prove everything. And what? That's one way to be the Mochzakos. Another way to be the Mochzakos, that even Rav Nachman agrees it's Mochzakos, and they're arguing about the nature of this chemical. Okay? But correct. One way to say it is just, it's a Raya for my Shtika, but here I never will. Okay? Okay, what's our time? What do we have here? 10:01. Shmuley, you missed your opportunity. Okay. Get some time. Cover what time the bus is rolling. Someone should have a little bit of time today not to feel rushed from one place to another. We'll pick this up on Sunday, Nir Tashem, okay? Okay.
Amazing when you're saying that Maisa Kofi Amma by the Nitzel Zayin is actually in Zilberstein's
yes,
there's a case about that talks about a monkey who helps a handicapped man. I found that rather amusing. It's my sister's favorite set of questions.
Well, here's my Rav Schechter line. Seriously, I saw a beautiful story last week